While much of the Western world struggles with depressed economies, the Asian Development Bank, the ADB, is predicting mostly healthy growth across the Pacific over the next several years. The bank's just released its 2024 Asian Development Outlook report, which presents analysis and prospects for the countries of the Asia Pacific. It shows regional growth averaging 3.3% this year and 4.0% in 2025. Inflation will also be higher at 4.3% across the region this year and 4.1% in 2025. The news is most positive for Palau, with 8% growth likely by 2025, but other countries, especially Papua New Guinea, will experience significant growth. ADB economist Kara Tenniel spoke with Don Wiseman.
We're expecting growth to continue at least in 2024 and 2025, as reported in our Asian Development Outlook publication.
And what will drive that?
Well, in Papua New Guinea, that's going to be driven largely by revived mining activity. There's a major gold mine that reopened recently, and the other large mines in the country are expecting to increase their input. In other parts of the sub-region, we're expecting tourism and construction, mainly of infrastructure projects, to help drive growth in those parts of the Pacific.
Yes, because of the size of the PNG economy, is it effectively... Mm-hmm. carrying the Pacific as far as these figures go?
Yes, our calculations, they're driven by weight. So Papua New Guinea is a significant part of the overall average.
PNG has suffered a number of spectacular setbacks, of course, in the last few years economically. Mm-hmm. Most recently, of course, the rioting back in January. How significant are events like that for the economic situation there?
So the situation in January that did affect a number of local businesses, jobs were lost and a lot of stock was lost or damaged, and it's going to take a while for these businesses to rebuild. So it's going to definitely affect prices. So the inflation is expected to increase a bit in Papua New Guinea over the next couple of years, partly due to the situation. And I think the pace at which they're able to reestablish their businesses would also affect economic growth, particularly in the trade sectors.
Looking at some of the other countries individually around the region, mm-hmm. Now, Palau is anticipating huge growth. What's that based on?
There is significant growth expected in Palau. It's largely because they're expecting visitor arrivals to increase further in the coming years. There's been a general increase over the past year relative to pre-pandemic levels, but they're still a bit below that. So they're expecting further increases over the next couple of years. And at the same time, they're also going to implement a number of public infrastructure projects that should also help stimulate the economy and help drive growth.
And in the Cook Islands also, very good growth.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and same story as well for them. I think tourism arrivals, they're close to pre-pandemic levels now from what we've observed, and they're expecting continued growth in the sector, although perhaps capacity constraints among hotels and facilities may be close to being reached already, but they're also expecting a couple of major infrastructure projects to be implemented, and that would also help drive growth in the Cooks.
Yet close by Niue, not looking very flash at all by comparison.
Well, not so much, maybe. For one thing, I think they are expecting tourism to improve, if I'm not mistaken. However, we're not really seeing a lot of these infrastructure projects in the pipeline, at least. I'm not aware of any in ADB yet, so that may change, but that also remains to be seen whether the story would be the same for Niue.
Vanuatu, of course, is a very tourism-reliant country, but it's also been through a horrendous time with the weather, with several cyclones and a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. But the reconstruction after those cyclones, that is actually proving to be a boost for the economy there.
It is. In the Pacific, as we're all well aware, a lot of our economies, they're very vulnerable to disasters and the effects of climate change. So there is some stimulus from reconstruction projects. Of course, starting from a very low base, the fact that reconstruction has, there are projects that are giving jobs to people, and then there are follow on effects on, you know, as they spend their wages, it also benefits the trade sector, for instance, and the transport sector, to name a couple.
Yes, and Vanuatu is one of those countries that's very highly reliant on seasonal workers traveling to Australia and New Zealand and I think now to Canada. So how significant is that money coming into the country?
It is very significant. I do know that Vanuatu is one of the biggest exporters of labor abroad, seasonal labor, among our Pacific economies. So for these countries, remittances are significant. People do send quite a bit of money home. You know, it helps finance education for families and home improvements for the families in the home countries. And it has boosted consumption in the home country. So we also noted, of course, that during the pandemic, there were increases in remittances being sent home. And there is anecdotal evidence that this was very helpful in tiding households over the economic difficulties of the pandemic.
Is the removal of those workers from their home countries, is that a problem in terms of labor availability?
Well, it hasn't been easy to replace the workers who have left. So there are some shortages being reported in a number of Pacific economies and in critical sectors like tourism, construction, and the like. And we just discussed that tourism and construction are two significant drivers of growth in the economy. So there are some implications, but there are also opportunities, of course, for governments, for policymakers to revisit their education and training policies, for instance, and firm up the pathways, I think, to addressing these labor gaps, as well as balancing that with sustaining remittance flows.